See, here's what I'm, there's a conflict in what I'm selling and what people are buying. And here's what it is. There's a disconnect here. What I'm selling is leave your corporate job, give up your give up the 9-to-5. If you're making $100,000 a year, you're having to produce a minimum of $200,000 a year of income for that company in order for them to keep you on. They have to pay you $100, then they have the FICA taxes, and they have the benefits and the health insurance and dental insurance and life insurance, and they have all the training and the support and your secretary and your computer and your office space and all the rest of the stuff that goes along with it. So why are you trading your hard-earned experience for half of what you're worth? You know, why not take that same experience and go out and do something with it where you can work the same hours and make double the money, or work half as much and make the same money? And you can call your own shots, work with who you want to work with, and that's what I'm selling. But here's what people are hearing. You're asking me to quit my job, give up my guaranteed paycheck, give up my benefits, my life insurance, health insurance, my retirement plan, my 401k, give up the care of my aging parents and my children's education, give up the support of my wife, and come out here and try something that I don't even know that I can do, and work in a business that I don't have any experience in. And so, you know, it's a tough thing to overcome. But if I can approach this like a home-based business, here's something you can do. Right now, you're already a consultant. You've walked into a number of businesses, and you've looked around at the business, and you've said, you know, I sure wouldn't do what they're doing there, and I wouldn't do that, and I sure wouldn't do this. But I like what they're doing here. I'd do more of that. And I could see if they just did this, they could make more money here. You've already got ideas. If you went to that business owner and said, hey, here's some ideas for you to help your business, he wouldn't pay you a bit of attention. But if he were to call you and say, hey, Jeff, you know, I've heard about you, I've read about you, I've seen you, somebody's told me about you, your reputation precedes you, I could, you know, I understand what you do for businesses. When can we talk? All of a sudden, the situation turns, and they'll pay attention to you. Now, I can show you how to grow your business, or how to take your business experience or your consulting experience that you're not getting paid for right now, and how you can create a home-based business. You can work out of your home. You can work part-time until you build this business up to the point where you're making more money than you are on your job, and you can quit your job. And I can show you how you can do it probably in the next 60 to 90 days. All of a sudden, it's a different situation, see? Mm-hmm. Because I'm not asking you to give up something that your income source and your guarantees and all that. So we're thinking about maybe doing some things like that as well.
Yeah. I mean, so to sort of transition into, like, the case study portion here, I mean, that you know, you obviously you've given this a lot of thought over the years. I mean, that basically is your positioning statement. You just voiced your positioning statement and the number one objection and sort of then how to turn that around. Because in any sale, there's always objections, and here, you know, they're very heartfelt, strong ones. You're asking someone to trade security, and these aren't, you know, people that are working at Taco Bell. You know, these are people that are having real success in their careers, or at least what most people would define as real success. You know, they've achieved, basically a corporate executive level of position and salary. And now you're proposing that they leave all that behind and go off on their own. And I mean, so it's obviously, it's a difficult sale.
Yes, it is.
And now, you know, you've done, at least the ones that I know of, three significant launches. And there's probably, I'm guessing, knowing you, Martin, that there's probably some that I don't know about, too. I have a feeling you're just nonstop with these. Because I want to talk about these, the last two, but could you just give us a real brief synopsis of what you did the first time around with your first big launch?
Well, you know, we had a list of about 3,600 people that had come to us over the years, maybe the last 4 years or so, from various sources. We used to advertise a lot on franchiseopportunities.com, franchiseforsale.com, businessforsale.com, some of those kinds of franchise-type sites. where people would really go and they would look for various kinds of businesses. Sometimes they know exactly what they're looking for, and other times they don't have a clue what they're looking for. They're just looking for around for a business. And they have heard through various sources that franchises are the way to go. There's a lot of money in franchises, and franchises have the greatest chance of success and non-failure of any kind of business. And in some cases that's true, and in other cases it's really not. Many times franchises just don't pay very much money. You don't make very much money for several years. But anyway, some people go to those sites looking for various kinds of franchises. They might be looking for, oh, let's say a sandwich shop, but they get distracted. They look at a Midas Buffler or a Dunkin' Donuts, or they might look at a blinds and drapery shop or whatever. And if your ad is compelling, sometimes, and it looks like it might be a pretty good business, a lucrative business to get into, many times they'll just go ahead and fill out the information and submit it and request information from your business. So many times when we would get a lead that came from one of those franchise sites, we'd be on the phone and we'd call them up and say, you know, I understand that you have just been to franchiseopportunities.com and you requested some information about consulting. Do you remember doing that? And we would always say that. Do you remember doing that? They said, now, what kind of a business is this? Well, this is a consulting business on how to become a business consultant. No. As a matter of fact, what I was looking for was an ice cream shop. So, well, what we found out was the franchise sites, they wanted to monetize their leads because they're paying, they're drawing traffic to their sites by pay-per-click. So they wanted to monetize that as best they could. So if somebody didn't buy an ice cream shop, well, maybe they'd be interested in something else. So they would just start sending those leads around to everybody. And, you know, of course, that keeps us buying from them because we're getting tons and tons of leads from them. And so they could always point back and say, see, our sites really do work because it's how many leads we provided you. Well, the leads weren't quality leads. Mm-hmm. But anyway, these people came to us over a period of time, maybe 3 or 4 years. And in some cases, we'd contacted them, you know, maybe 1 or 2 times, and they weren't interested. So we just didn't delete the names. We just left the names in a list. And we were getting ready to discard all those names. And we thought, let's try to monetize this and see what we can do. So we sent out an email to them, and the email said basically this. It said, at one point, you had come to one of our sites looking for ways to increase your income or perhaps change careers altogether. But for some reason, the offer that we had at that time wasn't right for you. And I'm a little bit concerned. I'd like to know why. Because since that time, other people have come on to our program and are making in the 5 figures in their first 30 days and their 6 figures in the first 90 to 120 days. And they're doing very well. But for some reason, it wasn't right for you. And I was just wondering if maybe you'd take a few minutes and answer a 4-question questionnaire that we have. And if you'll do that, I'll give you a copy of one of my very popular books, which is How to Start, Run, and Profit from Your Own 7-Figure Consulting Practice. And you can see it here on Amazon, and I put a link. It's selling for $24.95. So there was a value that I had given them at that point, just to ask them to come to a SurveyMonkey quiz and take, you know, fill out four simple questions. And so they did that, and we had something like 1,500 responses to that. They downloaded the book. I gave them actually a download copy, a digital copy of the book. At that point, we had a tremendous number of responses on this to the survey. So I went back to them, and I said, you know, originally I was going to take these questions, and I put them into 8 categories. And I thought, what I'll do is address these 8 categories and print out the content and send it out to you in a PDF document. But then I got thinking about it. Somebody might ask a question that wouldn't be covered in one of these 8 categories, and that wouldn't be fair to them. So instead of doing that, what I've done is put together a teleconference, a live teleconference, and here's the date and the time. You're welcome to come. I will cover every single question that was submitted. And so I sent that out.
Now, so you started off with the 3,600 people.
Yes.
And this wasn't necessarily a high-quality 3600, as you mentioned. A lot of them were completely untargeted.
Yes.
A lot of them had been on this list for maybe like 3 years or something and hadn't been mailed. But then you came out and you basically made an offer to go fill out a survey, and you gave them a bribe. You get a copy of this book.
Yes.
And so how many people took you up on that bribe, like out of that 3,600?
Well, there were about 1,500 that completed the survey.
Okay.
So there was about 1,500. Now, understand that my books are self-published books.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't publish my book to put in a bookstore.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a book in the bookstore, I'm going to make $5 on a book if it ever sells. And if you put a book in the business section of a bookstore, you better have either a very well-known name or you better have a very exciting title in order for it to stand out, because there are books coming out every day in the business section of the bookstore and you're just going to get lost. So I didn't really care about that. My book is really a credibility builder, a legitimizer, an enhancer, you know, position enhancer. That's what it's for. So if I give a book away, if I give a digital copy away, I gave it to somebody that wasn't going to buy it in the first place. But if this book, really, the way I wrote the book, it was an interview that I had with somebody on the telephone. I sent them some questions. They interviewed me. Then we went back and transcribed it and then took the questions out and made transitions from one subject to another or chapters. And that's really the way the book came about. So it's just a transcription. Really, a rewritten transcription of an interview that I had.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to them. I walked them step by step through the process of how to become a business consultant, how to make a 6- and 7-figure income as a business consultant. That's really what it is. And so people looked at that and said, gee, how can I do this? How can I build a 6-figure income in the next 90 to 120 days, you know, by using some experiences and skills that I already have coupled with the things that he'll teach me? And so, you know, it was very compelling to people to want to get a hold of that book.
Mm-hmm.
So we had about 1,500 downloads of that book.
Okay. I mean, that strikes me as a pretty large percentage.
Well, it is. But, see, I'm not even sure that all the downloads came from the people who were on that list. I'm just wondering, and I have no way of showing this or proving this, if that didn't get passed along in some type of a viral way to other people that said, hey, here's a chance to get a hold of this book and, you know, get some information. This might be of interest to you.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So I don't know how many of those were, you know, were directly from that list, or, you know, maybe it was passed on to someone else. I don't have any way of knowing that. But we pulled out all those questions, and then I did a teleconference.
Mm-hmm.
And we had just a little bit over 300 people on the teleconference. And it took 2 hours and 17 minutes to do the teleconference.
Mm-hmm.
And so I recorded it. And then I thought, you know, 2 hours and 17 minutes is a long time to listen. So then I went back to my original 8 different categories, and then I just did a one-person discussion. I just recorded the comments or the answers to those 8 different categories. And then that took 16 minutes. So then I posted both of those on a website, and I sent out another email. And I said, here is the transcript from the recordings from the teleconference that we had, and it's 2 hours and 17 minutes, but there's also a 16-minute shortened version if you'd like to listen to that as well. Well, there was a ton of people that went on there and listened to that. I don't know the numbers that were on that offhand, but I do know this, that we signed up a lot of people from that, and many of the people said that they had listened to both of those interviews several times over. So there's, you know, there's 2.5 hours of interview if you listen to just to each of them just one time.
Mm-hmm.
So we had a tremendous number of people that listened to that. You know, what you had done on yours, you had had it transcribed and then sent out a PDF. Well, I didn't do that. But I would then go back to them from time to time and I would say, here are some comments that some people have said and submitted to us about what they had heard on the teleconference. And I would pick out various, some emails that people had sent to us about the comments that they had and positive things. And then some of those I would enhance a little bit too, where somebody would say, I would say, here's what somebody said. Now, one of the things that they alluded to but didn't say was, and then I would cover that. So I would actually enhance or not enhance their words, but I would add to what they said. in my own words after after that, to point out some additional things where that could take them. And so we had a series of about 9 emails that went out before we had our training.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our training at that point was selling for $10,000. I'm sorry, it was selling for $20,000. But I knew that this list, probably because it was so old and so cold, I didn't think they would go for the $20,000 price. So I had to figure out some way to make this exciting or enticing for them. And so what I did is I said, we're going to record this program. Now, this program is going to be at the end of the year, and it'll be held in Phoenix, Arizona. Now, in Phoenix, wintertime is our season here. People don't come here in the summer. They come here in the wintertime. And the hotels are booked up pretty solid. And then we have Christmas coming and the holidays coming. So it's tough to find hotels. So instead of having our regular 4-day training, I held a 3-day training. And I said, we're going to tape this to make a home study course. Now, if we're going to tape it, then we're going to need to have a release from you saying it's okay to use your image and your comments in the taping. And so here's what I'm willing to do. I'm willing to buy your release for $10,000. In other words, we have a $20,000 program. But if you'll come and you'll sit through 3 days instead of 4 days, and you'll give me a release, I will then knock the price down from $20,000 to $10,000. And so that's what we did. And it went like gangbusters.
Wow.
So
now, and before we talk about how you did, I just want to point out, I mean, what you did there, some people might listening might not quite understand exactly what you did with the pricing. But it was pure brilliance. You maintained your $20,000 positioning, so you didn't say. I mean, you had a reason why it was discounted to $10,000. So people still knew they were getting this $20,000 value. It didn't hurt your perceived value. It didn't hurt your positioning. You still have a $20,000 program. The problem is like if you just have a sale, then, and I know you know all this, Martin. I'm just summarizing for the people listening. If you have a sale and you consistently have sales, what you have is a new lower price. So if you claim to have a $20,000 event and then you consistently put it on sale for $10,000, then you don't have a $20,000 event. You have a $10,000 event. But what you protected your positioning by having this very real, very real, very legitimate and very logical reason why, and it enabled you to sell this at $10,000 but still maintain that $20,000 value. Plus, think people were thinking they were getting a fantastic deal, and in fact they were. And so, I mean, that was just pure brilliance, having the very good, solid reason why. That I'm buying this video release from you for $10,000. I love that.
Well, thank you. And that's a key point that I think it's important for people to understand, is that you never lower your prices. You always try to add value. And in this case, I'm willing to buy from them because I see the most important thing somebody can give you are their heartfelt comments about what they've done, because you're asking them for something that's very personal to them. You're asking them for their comments about the experience that they had with your product. Now, those comments, we don't treat those lightly. Good, solid testimonials are really tough to come by. I mean, testimonials that you can use. Sometimes we hear these fluffy testimonials that say something like, well, Jeff's a great guy, I really like him, and he's a quality guy. That's not what you want to hear. You want to hear comments about what people have gained and how it's changed their lives, how it's changed their business, how it's made them a better person, how it's made them more money, how it's enhanced their love life, how it's whatever it happens to be, the benefits that they have gotten. Now, those things are very valuable for several reasons. First of all, it's the way a person really feels, and you have to treat people's feelings as though they're valuable, and they really are. The second thing is those testimonials can make you an awful lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm willing to pay a lot of money for a good testimonial. At least in this case, I was willing to pay a lot of money for a good testimonial, especially from people who I didn't think would pay $20,000 to begin with.
Yep.
So we had to position it in such a way that they felt like they were, and they really were, getting value. See, there's two things, Jeff, and one of those is we talk about perceived value a lot. but there's also real value. And sometimes we diminish the real value. Mm-hmm. And real value is just as important, if not more important, than perceived value. Real value is perceived value is what you think you're getting. Real value is what you actually got.
Mm-hmm. And just to be clear, you said, you know, you're willing to pay a lot for the testimonials. In reality, I think paying for testimonials might be illegal, probably, well, is I would call it unethical, but you're not actually talking about giving people money. You're just using that as a figure of speech. I know you're aware of that. I just wanted to make that clear for everyone listening.
Yes, in real life, if I could say it that way, in real life, I don't pay for testimonials. People give us testimonials because that's the way they feel about our program.
Right.
But I was trying to figure out some kind of a way that I could say to them, I had to have a reason to lower the price. I didn't think they would pay that price to begin with, but I had to have a reason to lower the price because, like you say, reason why is so important in advertising and promotions. Mm-hmm. And unless you have a reason why, like if I just lowered the price, what about the people who had just paid the month before? What is just paid $20,000? Well, the people who are coming after them, the month after them, were paying $20,000. And how do I explain to those folks? What I can say to these people now is, look, the reason I did that is because it was a last-minute thing. You came for 4 days. They came for 3 days. Yes, they were very long days. We go from 7 o'clock in the morning until 11 o'clock at night. They were very long, very intense, very focused days. But also, we're using them in a taped a presentation that we're able to sell now later on.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a trade-off right there.
Yep. So, okay, I derailed you a little bit there. So you had 3,600 on this list, and this wasn't a particularly great list. I mean, it was a list you basically bought through advertising. It had grown cold. You'd done some initial follow-up for the most part, but hadn't really mailed them. But you're still able to turn that around and generate 1,500 surveys, where people took 1,500 surveys, which in and of itself is a huge value for your business because you're tapping into the mindset of these people. Then you were able to drive 300 people onto this live teleconference, plus a bunch more listened to the recording after it, and then you rolled out this $10,000 program. So what were your results?
Well, in this particular case, we had I'm trying to go back in my mind and think now. We had pulled out of this group, we had pulled something like 26 people out of this particular group, which was about $260,000,
mm-hmm,
in brand new money that we didn't think we were going to be able to get out of this group.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So $260,000. And you were basically able to. The other thing is you're in essence, you're creating a product. If I recall correctly, I mean, that was, you really had two things going into this. Well, three. One is I've got this list that's been sitting around. It's sort of bugging me because I've got this list, and I don't know if it's any good or not. I haven't done anything with it, so I want to find out if it's worth anything. And then the two was I want to create a product. I want to have a DVD product that I can sell. And three was, boy, it wouldn't break my heart to make some money here. So you basically got paid $260,000 to create this product. And you put this all together just in, I think you went from that first email to the list saying, the first email to the 3,600 to running them through the teleconference to actually having your live event in the matter of just a couple of months, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. It was very quick. It happened it was about 6 weeks or 7 weeks from start to finish.
Wow. In a busy holiday season too, right?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Wasn't it early December, I think?
Yes, it was. We did it towards the end of November, actually the beginnings of November, and we actually held it in December.
Yeah. Well, that's not bad. So many people say, I don't have a list, I can't do this without a list. Certainly you started with a list, but it was a hard luck list, sort of, and it was a list that you were able to buy, I say buy, but create through advertising.
Well, it was.
So, hello.
Hello, Jeff.
Yes.
This is Kenny Salter.
Hey, Kenny, I thought I had you on for another half hour from now. Is that?
Oh, okay. All right, I'm sorry. All right, no problem. We'll call back.
Yeah, I'm just wrapping up this call here. But, yeah, I'm very sorry about that, Kenny. Yeah,
no problem.
Will that work for you?
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Martin.
That's okay. That's quite all right. I understand.
We're putting them back to back. That's a guy who sold a Learn How to Play Guitar product and did really, really well with the launch. So.
Oh, man. Good.
Well, not your kind of numbers, but for him, life-changing. So, so anyways, I forget where we were. I'm going to this will get amended in the editing process,
sure.
Obviously. But fantastic results. Running people through this in a very short process. Yeah, a lot of people. I know. I was talking about lists. A lot of people, lists are stumbling block. This shows what you can do with a relatively small number of people and not necessarily the greatest list. But, you know, through this launch process, you sort of rehabilitate your relationship with a list, don't you?
Well, yes. What's happened now is we've been able to go in and clean up the list and get rid of those folks that were non-responsive or maybe some bad emails, you know, that... You know how emails are, they change from time to time, and
yep.
You know, especially Hotmail and Yahoo and some of those AOLs, and they'll change. So we got rid of some of those, and then we just did another list here recently, and another launch, rather, to the same list, and we brought in another 8 people, and these folks. And what had happened was we went back to this list again, and we went to them and said, by the way, some of the recordings – didn't turn out the way we would like to have them because the air conditioner in the room came on and it was a loud hum. And so it showed up on the tape, on the taping, the recordings. And so there's some of these we want to do over again. And so and the other part of this was some people came to us at the beginning of the year and said, you know, it wasn't fair for me because I didn't get on the list. I was on the list, but I didn't get in the seminar. It was at the end of the year. I didn't have any money, or I was out of town, or for some reason I wasn't able to attend. And we got several people who had responded to us that way, but unfortunately we didn't keep the names of those people. And so just to be fair, we're going to open it up again and take it on an honor system. If you were one of those people who couldn't come on and... for some reason, if you'll let us know who you are, we'll go ahead. We're going to do one more taping of this because, you know, just to be fair to you, and because the air conditioner came on and made a lot of noise, we're going to do one more. So here's your chance. The doors are going to close in 2 weeks, so here's what it is. We had 8 people came on for another $10,000 apiece.
Hmm.
So it was another $80,000 that, you know, we just went back to that list and monetized it again.
Just found money, really?
Yeah, just found the money, really.
I mean, so total then of $340,000.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah, and you know, it's just very, very quick. I mean, it just happened just that quick. And you go, we pulled that out in just 2 weeks, that last $80,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, really, you know, and you take a look at the marketing costs. There are no marketing costs because it was all email. The training cost, you know, the room that for 8 people was $200 a day, the training room. So we had that for 4 days. That's
$800,
you know. And then we buy lunches, and we buy the initial meal. The night before, we buy, you know, a meal for everybody. That's the time that we all get together, and we talk about who you are, where you're from, what you're up to, and what you want to get out of the training. It's kind of our icebreaker thing.
Great.
So that night, everybody gets to know each other, and they go back to bed. And the next morning, we get up and we start at 7 o'clock. And we've already done the icebreaker and the, you know, get acquainted thing. So we don't have to take the time, the training time, to do that.
Hmm.
So and that's how it works. And of course, we have our training materials, which are, you know, a box of books and CDs, and that's about a 30-pound box of manuals.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really all it takes.
So. I'm sure you don't have this number sitting around, but you initially spent some amount of money to create that list, that initial list of 3,600 people. I mean, could you guess what you spent?
You know, guys, I know we advertised on those franchise sites, and we would get into the Platinum Group, which was the highest level of advertising, and I think in some cases we were paying $1,200 a month, and some we were paying $1,500, and we were advertising on three of those franchise sites at a time. So in some cases we're paying around $4,500 or so a month for advertising, and we did that for maybe it was 6 months or so that we did that.
Okay.
And it just wasn't that worthwhile for us. Now I know there are other companies out there that do that. And I'll tell you, we're tied in right now to a company. This is going to be absolutely mind-blowing. We're tied into a company who continues to advertise on those sites, and they are all over those sites. I mean, and not only just on the site, but they're deep into the site. So when you click on something and you go into somebody else's site, you'll see a little banner in there someplace. So these folks are all over the sites. They have been doing this for years, and they have a similar type of business but in another industry. And to ours, and they have approached us about all the leads that they have that they haven't been able to convert. And of course, you know, there's a whole lot of leads that you get in those organizations that just don't convert. They're not interested. They don't have the money. It was something else that they were looking for, whatever it is. And so now we're teaming up with this company, and we're going to offer our program to their folks at a discount because. That company has come to us and has hammered out a deal with us that they were able to get for their prospects that, you know, the general public couldn't get. So that's the way it's going to approach. So we're going to tie into them in a joint venture, a strategic alliance type of a thing, or we're going to market to their, we're going to write all the materials, and they're going to send it out to their list.
Okay.
And I have a feeling that this is just going to go right over the top.
Wow.
We're talking about leads over, you know, a six-year period that these folks have been advertising like that, and they're driving so many leads to their sites right now, but they just can't monetize them.
Wow. So it sounds like if $4,500 approximately for approximately 6 months, you spent maybe near $30,000 for that list.
Yes.
And so a lot of people, I know there's a lot of people listening that's more money than they could ever conceive of spending to build a list. But on the upside, you know, you made almost 10 times that. You know, if you spent almost $30,000 and you pulled out $340,000 with essentially no costs, other, you know, tops maybe $10,000 in costs. Well, I guess with merchant fees, probably.
Oh no! There are no merchant fees.
Oh really?
You and I have talked about this before.
Oh, then I forgot.
We have the ability to take credit cards, but we don't, unless it's just a dire, absolute last choice way to do it. We ask people to wire transfer the money to us.
Okay.
Look, if you're paying 6% for credit card fees, for merchant fees, 6% of $20,000 is a lot of money.
Yep.
Why would I give that, you know, and why would I give that to the bank when I could have that myself?
Yep.
And sometimes people will say to us, well, I want to put that on my American Express card because I want the miles. So in other words, you want me to pay $1,200 for you to get the miles.
Mm-hmm.
Not a problem at all. Be happy. If you want the miles, not a problem. Here's what we can do. The price for our program is $20,000. It's not $20,000 minus $1,200. It's $20,000. So if you want the miles and they're for your benefit, it's only fair that you pay for them. So if you'd like, what we'll do is we'll just increase the amount to $21,200, and then you can get all the miles you want. Oh, no. Well, see, all of a sudden it changes when they have to pay for it.
Right.
And the number of miles we're going to get aren't that great anyway. I mean, they could go out and buy the miles for less
right.
than that.
Right.
So
you got a tenfold return on your investment. And frankly, those numbers are similar. You know, I know I've been in some very competitive markets where I've essentially advertised, even done pay-per-click advertising, and even in the most competitive markets, I can usually build a list, a double opt-in list, for about $10 per name. Now, you know, if you're in a little niche, a little hobby niche, and maybe you're not going double opt-in, you know, you could probably do it for 20 cents a name or 30 cents a name. But in a highly, highly competitive markets, even the most competitive, you can still do it around, you know, for about $10, which is her name in the list, which is basically, I think, what you spent.
Yeah, and, right. But you know, see, we're selling a real high-end product as well. I mean, our prices now are at $30,000. We moved them up this year. We're sold out through June. That's how far we're booked ahead, all the way through June. We're selling in July right now, and we're booked ahead at $30,000 per head. And we're, you know, for the next several months, we're sold out. We have one a month. Now, let me go back and tell you there's another way to do this, and you and I have talked about this before, and that is to do offline marketing. And there are other ways to build a list. Now, you know, the way we did it, it was probably not the most efficient, but we didn't know any different. That's how we did it. We did it with the franchise opportunities. We don't sell a franchise, but we sell something that's very similar to a franchise. And so we figured that's, you know, if that's what you sell franchises with, that's what you sell ours with. And we found out that that was not really a cost-effective way to do it. The real way to do it is the way we're going to do it now, and that's tying into somebody who already has a list that they can't monetize.
Mm-hmm.
So what are they doing with all those names they've collected over the last several years? How can we tie into those folks and monetize that? Now, before that, what we did back in May, we had 420 consultants, and we wanted to go to 500 consultants. So by the end of the year. So we thought, you know, 80 consultants, that's, it, you know, $20,000, that's pretty good if we could take that by the end of the year. And then we thought, you know, why don't we just set a limit of 100? Let's just go to 100. Instead of 500, let's just say let's get 100. And so we did some offline marketing, and we thought when we get 100 consultants, we'll shut the doors and take no more, because we don't take any more than about 15 in a class at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want to keep the classes small so that we can give individual attention and really work with these folks to help them build successful businesses. And when you have a large group, it's real difficult to make sure everybody gets all their questions answered.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very participative. We open it up, and it's a discussion. And I put the room, I set it up in a U shape so I can be right in the middle, and people are looking across the room at you know, the person right across from them. It's not looking at the back of somebody's head. So we really get into it and really open this thing up so everybody gets 100% attention. And I want to keep the instructor to student ratio very high. And so what we did is we went offline and we found targeted lists of people who were most likely to buy the kind of product that we were selling. Now, when we went to the franchise sites, we had no idea. We were just putting it out there, and we got people who were looking for ice cream shops or Midas mufflers or Dunkin' Donuts or, you know, some blind shop or something. But now we've decided to go after the people who were in high-stress jobs whose careers or jobs really depended on how well they did on the previous event that they put on. So we looked for a very focused list of people who we thought would be, you know, tired of doing what they're doing, they're high stress or underpaid, they've got some experience, they've got some business knowledge, and these folks would be good to bring to our program. So we marketed offline to these people through letters and a series of letters, and then we brought them to a teleconference, and then we brought them to a website, and in 17 days, we had our 100 people at $20,000 apiece, and we had to stop bringing people on because we now had to train them over the next several months.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a $2 million launch in 17 days.
Mm.
And that one really, really told us that we have a product that people want, that they're willing to pay for, and it gave us a new way of doing this besides going online and competing with everybody else. Here's the problem you run into, Jeff, and that is once you put up a website, and once you put your product out there on the website or on the Internet, everybody in the world can look at it and can knock it off, can come in with a cheaper price, can come in and try to do something better. And you see it happen, you know, time after time after time.
Mm-hmm.
If you go offline and you do your marketing offline, the only people who know what you're doing are the people who get your message,
mm-hmm.
either directly or indirectly. Maybe they, you know, get it from somebody else. But that's the only person, and it really cuts down the amount of competition you have because you can position yourself as the only one out there in the game.
Mm-hmm.
You really cut down your competition and the chance of somebody knocking you off and running with what you have. So now, if you're like some other ones out there, and you and I both know, they'll do a product and they'll have a $3 million launch, but they hit the market with both feet. I mean, they hit it running. and they jump into it, and they'll have joint venture partners, and they'll capture the market very, very quickly,
mm-hmm.
and before anybody else knows what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an unusual situation.
Yeah.
You know, the people who do this are very unusual.
Yes. I mean, you're talking more, it's almost like a stealth launch because no one knows what you're doing. You're going offline. You're picking your lists. You're picking, you know, your sort of sub-niches within sub-niches to go after. You're finding either the person with the list or the place to advertise. But then you're going and using all the same sequencing and you know, and building up to the sale, you know, that we often see in launches that are happening online.
Well, that's right. There's no reason why the things that you're talking about, the product launch formula, and that's exactly what we use, Jeff. We use your entire process. In fact, you'll remember I put together in one of our conference calls, because I belong to your very high-level coaching group, and I have to say that was probably one of the best investments I've ever made, because not only did I have to own the product before, but I used the product and I could see what it did, and then you gave the personal attention on your coaching call, which I have to say was, of all the coaching clubs I belong to, this gave me more value than any of the other ones, so it was excellent. But the thing is, I sent to you a mind map. I put together a mind map of a process that I was going to use, which really made me focus, because it was on one of our one-on-one calls that we were going to have in preparation for that.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to explain to you what I was doing, and I put together the mind map and sent it to you. And I thought, well, you might not understand it if I just did it that way. So then I did a Camtasia of it, so I had to walk through it. And as I did that, it really helped me solidify in my mind the step-by-step process that I had to take to get this launch going. Now, we didn't follow that mind map to the T as time went on. As you know, we added a few things here and changed a few things here and modified it, because you find things that you can add as you go along through the process that you hadn't thought about when you first started. But at least it gave us a track to run on.
Yep.
And so that was real valuable for me.
Yeah.
And by the way, I learned mind mapping from you. That's why I learned it.
Well, I remember that phone conversation, the one-on-one call we had, and you sent me that mind map. You actually sent me the Camtasia of you talking through the mind map, and I watched that whole thing, and then I got on the phone call with you, and it's like you already knew everything. You had answers just from going through that process. So it was very interesting.
Well, your checklist in your product launch formula, I can't say enough about that. I followed that right to the T. In fact, I went through, and I think a lot of people probably don't do this, but I took the checklist, and you asked some questions, and I filled out the questions. I physically wrote down the answers to every single question, because it made me think the process through, which if you just read them and say, well, that's a nice question, and you move on to the next one, and maybe in your mind you're thinking something, but until you actually write down the question or write down the answer to that question, you really haven't thought the question through.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your checklist that really got me thinking, and then it's the way you use mind maps and showed me how to do that through your examples in your coaching calls. That's when I really learned how to do it.
Mm-hmm. It's powerful. I can't remember exactly how I, you know, obviously we all stand on the shoulders of people that came before us. I can't remember exactly where I learned that from, but it's a very powerful technique.
Well, you know, I'd seen people like Harlan Kilstein and some of those other ones do mind maps. And, you know, Harlan was great at one point. He was sending out mind maps all the time on other people's products and programs and things. And I looked at it and I thought, well, that's really complicated. But as I watched you walk through it, I thought, gee, this is really a no-brainer. And then when I started applying it myself, I thought, you know, it really is a no-brainer. But it really helps you focus on every single step. And I now teach that to our consultants. When you're getting ready to work with a client, let's put out some categories. Marketing, what are we going to do in marketing? What are we going to do in a follow-up, in a customer service, and all the rest of the things? And we just lay it out right out there. But that was really what helped me get focused on the launch that I did.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, you just had some fantastic results. It's just great to see you taking it and being strategic with it. And not just strategic, but creative, you know, really being creative in how you approach this, because you did some things very differently, and you do approach things very differently, and I really appreciate that about you and how creative you are with this. You know, taking it offline, taking it, you know, offline lists, Often you're driving people to email lists from offline stuff and then following up via email. But you're also following up offline with sequences. And just had some fantastic results.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that you can really do, and you're right, we now have a mix of messages that we send out. We do initially go offline to a targeted list, and we try to drive them, we try to get them to request information from us, because if they, I don't want to send them to a website right away. I want them to request information, because if they request information, that kind of gives them almost an opt-in to receive printed information from us. So we'll send out some printed material along with, we're developing now a DVD to send to folks, and I'm really questioning whether or not I want to use a DVD or I want to use a CD. And the reason is because a DVD presupposes that you have specialized equipment. You either have to sit down at a computer or you have to sit down at a TV and you have to watch something. A CD, you can pop it in your car and listen to it. You don't really have to have specialized equipment because almost all cars now today have CD players.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can put it in your computer at the same time. So rather than giving them something to watch, I give them something to listen to. Now, we do have, I filmed some infomercials. I filmed an infomercial that's a 30-minute infomercial, and I also have some little segments, little 1-minute, 2-minute segments about what we do as well, and those are up on my website. So, and I had those professionally done in a studio, CBS studio, with all the cameras and the lighting and the makeup and the whole thing, and it's very well done. So we have those now. We can run those on cable TV if we'd like, but we just put them on our website so that if somebody wants to see who I am and what I look like and how I interact with the interviewer and that, they can go and see that I am a real person, that I am sincere, that we really do have a product that works, and it's been very good for us.
Hmm. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I look forward to keeping the track of what you're doing and watching because it's very creative, and I love seeing you take these techniques and using them, you know, in the offline world, and using them in these tiny, you know, with these small numbers that are generating big dollars. I mean, it's very exciting to watch. Very much.
Well, you know, it can certainly be done, and I think the lack of a list, I think, holds a lot of people back, or the fear of, oh, how do I develop a list? I'm new in the business, and how do I do it? Well, I would just say that there are ways out there, and probably the easiest way is if you can find somebody that you know or you can tie into that has a list. Not necessarily, you know, we look at these affiliate programs and that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about finding somebody that you can just kind of co-op with, or you can, you know, some way to make it beneficial from them. It's sort of like an affiliate type of thing, but I don't think you have to go after the big-time affiliate marketers out there or internet marketers who have the huge list. There are other ways to do it, and finding your target market is a key. It's really key, and then focusing your message on that target market, getting it in front of them on a cost-effective basis, and it has to be compelling enough. See, if you rent a Lyft, here's another challenge. If you go out and you rent a Lyft, you have, generally speaking, you have one-time usage for that Lyft.
Right.
If you pay double, if you pay twice as much, you can have unlimited usage for a year in most cases. Well, the key is, how do you get people off that list? How do you get them to respond to you? If you can get them to respond to you, now they become your list, and you can market to them as much as you want.
Mm-hmm.
So the first message you get out there has to be so compelling that they don't have a choice but to pick up the phone and call, or to go to a website, or to take whatever action you want them to do. And if you can do that, the faster you can get them off that list and onto your list to get them to respond to you, then the more opportunity you're going to have to market to those folks. Because if you try to go back to them again, you're going to get hit with a double charge.
Yep. Excellent. Well, Martin, congratulations. Thanks for spending so much time with me this morning to tell us, and I'm sure this is going to be really helpful for the people listening, because, it's just some fantastic success in very unique ways.
Thanks very much, Jeff. I really appreciate the opportunity. And listen, I have to say that Product Launch Formula and your coaching club has been way more than I could have ever expected and has been very instrumental in the success that we've had. And I thank you so much for putting those things out and making them available to me.
Oh, you're welcome, and thanks so much for your kind words.
Okay. Take care, Jeff.